Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin Daf Chaf Aleph. We are holding on Daf Chaf Amud Beis. We are at E Hachi, about four lines from the end of the page on Daf Chaf Amud Beis. Today's show is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha Aleha Shalom, with Nesham Shav and Aliyah. We thank him very much for the continued sponsorship of the Daf Yomi. So we are in the middle of challenging the Shita of Ze'iri, that Ze'iri had taught us that Nishbara Mafrakas Rov Basri Ma Nevela. So the Gemara is asking Kashas, how could that be that if the animal is already a Nevela when you break its neck bone and most of the Basar in that area that supports it? So the Gemara is going to conclude that challenge and answer that challenge. Then the Gemara is going to, in that context, we're going to discuss the mitzvah of Havdalah by an Olas Ha'of, the idea that you have to be Mavdil, that you have to separate the head from the body. Then the Gemara is going to discuss when a human being is still Mefarches, is he considered to be dead? Meaning, what would have to happen to a human being? How much of his neck would have to be broken in order for him to be considered dead, even if he is still Mefarches? How much would his body have to be torn open for him to be considered dead, and as far as Tumas Ol is concerned, even if he's still Mefarches, even if the body is still quivering or moving or jumping around? Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether a decapitated Sheretz is considered to be dead, and then the Gemara is going to derive from Psukim how much to cut in the Malika of an Ola Sa'of. We're going to try to figure that out from Psukim. In particular, of particular interest is the word Kamishpat in the Pasuk about Ola Sa'of. What's it saying? It's saying that the Ola Sa'of is supposed to be Kamishpat, you know, like the rule that we have by something else. What rule? What something else? What are we comparing it to? So the Gemara is going to have three different opinions, and through that we're going to understand that there's a machlokas whether Olas Ha'of needs Shchitas Rov Shnei Simanim or Kol Shnei Simanim. So let us begin again. We're really at Ihachi, but what this goes back to is the Shita of Ze'iri that appeared on the second wide line of Daf Chafan Beis, where he said that Nishpura Mafrakes Verov Basar, that if the neck bone and most of the surrounding flesh that supports the neck, Rov Basar Ima, gets broken or gets cut through, Nevela, then right away the animal is a Nevela. So even though the Behema may still be moving around, it's a Nevela. So if you shecht a Behema while it's still Mefarcheses, after it went through that trauma of Nishpura Mafrakes Verov Basar Ima, the Shechita doesn't help. It's already dead. You're shechting a dead animal. That was the Iri's opinion. So yesterday, maybe we'll backtrack a little bit. Rava said, "Amar Rava, e koshali, ha koshali. If I'm going to have a problem with Ze'iri's Shita, that the animal is already dead, when Nishpura Mafrekes, Verov, Basarima, so when you do a Malika on a bird, it turns out that before you do the Malika on the Simanim of the bird, it's already a Nevela, because you've already cut through the Mafrekes and Rov Basarima. V'chimesa omeru molek. Is that possible that you have a mitzvah of Malika on a bird that is already dead?" So Amalei Abaye, Abaye says, V'tikshilach Olas Ha'of. He says, you know, you should ask about the Malika of an Olas Ha'of as well. Debaya Shnei Simanim, that an Olas Ha'of, you have to cut both Simanim, meaning even leaving Ze'iri aside, you have to cut the Kana and the Veshet. So even if you don't know like Ze'iri about breaking through, about an animal being an Avela, a bird being an Avela, when you break its neck and the Rov Basar, once you've cut one Simen, it's for sure dead. A bird is for sure dead when you get through one Simen. So V'chimesa Omeru Molek, meaning if you, Rava, are going to be bothered, that how could there be part of a Mitzvah Malika when in the first part of that Mitzvah Malika you've already killed it? How could there be a continuation of a Mitzvah Malika on an animal that is already dead, on a bird that is already dead? Well, then the very concept of Olas Ha'of makes no sense. Because by Olas Ha'of, you for sure cut Shnei Simanim, and we know that a bird dies with Chaticha Simen Echad. So how could it be that cutting a second Simen is part of the Mitzvah? When you cut the second Simen, you're cutting a dead animal. So Amalei, Rava responds to Abaye, "No, Olas Ha'of doesn't bother me. Only Ze'iri bothers me. Because Hassam, when it comes to an Olas Ha'of, the reason you have to continue cutting that second Simen, even though Enochinami, the animal, the bird is dead with the Chaticha of the first Simen, it's not to kill it, it's Kedei L'Kayim B'Mitzvah Havdalah. It's not to fulfill the mitzvahs Malika, it's to fulfill the mitzvahs Havdalah. Then in Echinami, Malika would only make sense on a bird that is still alive. Once it's already dead, you don't do a mitzvahs Malika on a bird that is already dead. Why, by an Ol HaSof, do we continue to cut through that second simen? There's another mitzvah called a mitzvahs Havdalah, that aside from the mitzvah of Malika, which is to take the life out of the bird, you also have to do a mitzvah Havdalah to separate the head from the body of the bird, and therefore, so that you could therefore be maktir the rosh separate from the rest of the body. You do separate haktaros that we're going to see in today's daf, and therefore the Torah says you better do malika on both simanim, even though when you do malika on the first simon it is already dead, because you're going to need to do a haktara separately on the head and the body. But by Echata Sa'ov, you don't have a din of Avdala, and therefore the Torah doesn't require doing Malika on both Simanim. It's only Malika Simenecha that we do by Echata Sa'ov. So you see that the Malika of the second Simen is not to take the life away, to take the life out of the bird. So if it already became a Nevela with Chatichsa Mafrakas and Rova Basar, Rava says, my kasha stands. V'chi mesa omeru malik. If it's already dead, when you cut, my kasha is only on Zi'iri. If Zi'iri is right, that it's already dead, when you break the neck and rove of the basar that supports the neck, it makes no sense that once that happens, you still have mitzvahs malika to cut through one of the simanim. By the time you're getting to one of the simanim, you're already killing a dead animal. You're already doing a malika on a dead bird. So, frankly, Gemara, well, iachi, if the reason the Torah tells us to be malik Shnei Simanim by the Ola Sa'of is not to take away its life. The life is already gone. It's just to do the mitzvah Havdalah. Well, then, Oranami, you should also have to cut through the skin of the Ola Sa'of, because you really have to separate the head from the body. The whole point is to do a haktara on the head separate from the body. So how come that's not part of the mitzvah Malika, to cut through the skin as well, if it's really only about the mitzvah of Havdalah? So answers the Gemara, Kala Ma'akim B'Shem Shechita, anything that if you were not to shechtit b'kashrus, the shechita would not be kosher. Ma'akev b'avdala is going to be ma'akev in the mitzvah of avdala. By an ola sa'of, you need to do the malika because of the mitzvah avdala. V'kol she'eno ma'akev b'shechita, eino ma'akev b'avdala. And anything that's not going to be ma'akev b'shechita is not going to be ma'akev b'avdala. And you wouldn't need to be mavdilit and to be molek by the shechita of the oaf. So therefore, the or of the neck of the bird, which is not makev the shechita, that even if you were to take all of the or off prior to the shechita, if you were to scrape off all of the skin of the bird that you wanted to shecht, right? You're shechting a bird is by chulin, right? Not by kachem, it's malika, by chulin it's shechita. So let's say you wanted to shecht a bird and you cut off all the skin around the neck, you could then still do a kasher shechita. You don't have to do a shechita on the or. The or is not part of the shechita process. The or could be removed and you'll still be able to do a kosher shechita. So therefore, when it comes to the Ola Sa'of, it's not part of the mitzvah of Havdalah. But the simanim, the chaticha simanim, that is ma'akev the shechita. That if you cut the simanim prior to doing the shechita, that doesn't work. That would make it a treifa. You wouldn't be able to do a shechita to make it kosher. So the chadchila, you have to cut, and the chadchila, you don't cut one simon, the chadchila, you cut shnei simanim. And therefore, you need to be mavdil the shnei simanim by the Ola Sa'of, when you're doing the Malika of the Ola Sa'of. So ask Gemara, V'amiyut Simanim L'Rabbanan D'lo Ma'akvi Shechita Ma'akvi B'Avdala, is that klal that you just told me true? The Miyut Simanim that remain after you've shechted Rov Simanim, meaning according to the Rabbanan, who hold, and we see today, that's going to be in today's daf, who hold that you need to do Malika on the Miyut Simanim, it's not Ma'akev Shechita, because if you shecht Rov Simanim, the Shechita's kasher, yet it's Ma'akev the Avdala, yet by Malika of an oaf, you need to cut through entire Simanim. I mean, we're going to see that there's a machlokas today. When you do Malika of an oaf, do you need to do Malika of Rov Simanim or Malika of Kol Simanim? By Shechita, there's no machlokas. By Shechita of an oaf, only Rov Simanim, not Kol Simanim. So we're saying, is there really this parallel between Shechita and Malika? By Shechita of an oaf, everyone agrees, Rov Simanim. Yet by Malika of an oaf, apparently, it's, according to the Rabbanon, it's kol simanim. So it doesn't seem that you really have this parallel of kol ma'akiv b'shchita, ma'akiv b'avdala, and kol she'enu ma'akiv b'shchita, enu ma'akiv b'avdala. Shchita only needs rov simanim. You cut 70% of the way through the simon, the last 30% is not ma'akiv shchita. And yet, according to the Rabbanim, it is ma'akiv avdala. So it says, okay, let's reformulate the rule a little bit. Ela'ema, you have to say, why is it that you don't have to be mavdil the or of the tzavar of an oaf when it comes to the malika? Why is it that there's no mitzvah to cut through the or? Because kol sheyeshno b'shchita, anything that there's even a mitzvah to do by the shchita, even if it's not ma'akev the shchita, but it's a mitzvah to do, yeshno b'havdala, would then be a requirement for the mitzvah of havdala. So the miyut simana by shchita is a lechachila. Now in a chinami, it's not ma'akev the shchita. We said everyone agrees by shchita you only need to cut rove of the simanim, but also everybody agrees kol ha-simanim by shchita is a mitzvah, that ideally you're supposed to cut kol ha-simanim. So if that's the mitzvah by shchita, then that becomes the requirement by havdalah. V'kol she'enu b'shchita, and anything that's not even a mitzvah by shchita is eno b'havdalah, cannot be a requirement by havdalah. Cutting the or of the neck of the bird is not even a mitzvah by shchita. It's a zero by shchita, and therefore it's certainly not going to be ma'akev the havdalah. Okay, so says the Gemara, now let's get back to Rava's kasha. Mikol makom kasha. The whole point over here is that Rava's asking a kasha on Zi'iri. That Zi'iri had said that if you break the neck of a bird along with most of the flesh that helps support the neck of the bird, that bird is dead. It is a nevela already at that point. So why is it that we then have a mitzvah's malika on the simanim? Are we doing a malika on a dead bird? We got distracted a little bit from Rava's question because Abai said, hey, how come you're only asking about the malika of the simanim? You're only asking on Zi'iri. What about the fact that we do malika on a second simon after you already cut the first simon? So we got distracted by that side point. But the real question was, Zi'iri, you tell me that the bird is dead when you break the neck of the bird with the rove basar around it. How could it be that there's a mitzvah malika after you've already broken the neck and the basar around it? It is dead. So Amar Rava, Ema, Kenu Osa. So Rava says, because of this kasha, you have to say that when you do malika, what you're supposed to do is, it's a very delicate procedure. Chotech shidra umar frekes below rov basar. That initially, you cut through the spine, you cut through the neck bone without the rov basar. Because if you get the rov basar, you've already killed the animal. So you do that without the rov basar, then you cut the simen together with the rov basar. As you're killing the animal, the bird, with the malika, that's when you get the rov basar. But if you were to, enochinami, according to Zi'iri, if you were to cut through the rov basar before the simen, then you can't do it. The malika is not a malika, because the malika is not taking the life out of the bird. The life is already gone. V'kisalik Rabbi Zeira, and Rabbi Zeira went to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechel Rabbi Ami, Diyasa V'kamer La Shmaita. He found Rabbi Ami teaching Zi'iri's din in the Beis Medrash, meaning Zi'iri's din, that when you break the neck with Rov Basar, it is already dead. So Amalei, Rabbi Zeira said to Rabbi Ami, V'chimesa Omeru Molek, Ravas Kasha. I don't understand. If it's already dead, how do you do malika? You already cut through the neck and the rov basar. So what are you cutting simanim? You're not killing the animal with the malika. It's already dead. So Rabbi Ami was ishtomim kishachada. He was quiet for a moment. He was like taken aback. He needed to think about, oh boy, that's a good kasha. How am I going to answer that? And then Amalei, after he thought about it for a moment, Ema, he said that you have to say, kachuos achotech shidra mafrekas below rov basar. He came to the same conclusion. So why does the Gemara have to tell us Ishtomim Kishachadah? What does that add? Probably to tell us he's supposed to think before you speak. So he thought for a moment, and that's how he's Mechavin Alamas. And he realized, wow, Malika, we know is a hard procedure. You got to hold the bird all in the same hand as you're doing the... It's even harder because you have to get it exactly right. Meaning if you cut the wrong parts of the neck with your fingernail, so you're killing the bird before you ever get to the simanim, then it's not a valid Malika. You have to cut the simanim before you cut the rov basar, so or at the same time that you cut katar of basar. Tanya nami achi, and we have a brisa that confirms that this is correct. Ketan molkin chatos ha'of. How do we do malika of a chatos ha'of? Chotech shudra umafrekes below rov basar. That first you cut the shudra umafrekes, not with the rov basar. Asher migil levesher to lekana. Then you get to the simanim, the vesher of the kana. Higil levesher lekana. Chotech simen echar arubo v'rov basarimo. Then when you get to the vesher of the kana, you cut one simen or rov of one simen and rov of the basar at the same time that you're cutting that simen. So that is exactly like Rava and Rabbi Ami had said, that that you have to save the rov basar until later. Now this is by a chatasof, that's why it says simen echad. By a chatasof, the Torah says umalakas rosh mimul orpo v'lo yavdil. By a chatasof, you're not supposed to be mavdil the rosh from the guf, and therefore you only cut simen echad. By an olas ha'of, you are supposed to be mavdil the rosh from the guf, and therefore you cut shnei simanim. Right? We had mentioned that earlier in Abaye's side point. But so says the Gemara, now let's make that our main point. Uba'ola shnayim orov shnayim. By an olas ha'of, it's not enough to cut one simon. You got to cut two simanim, or at least the majority of two simanim. Now, the idea that you can cut two simanim or the majority of two simanim, that's like your option, money. Who's the Tana that holds that? I Rabbanan Amri Shnayim Dafka. The Rabbanan hold, not Rov Shnayim, the Rabbanan hold, you got to cut through Kol Shnei Simanim by an Olas Ha'of. And we'll see where the Rabbanan say that later in the Daf. But we know that the Shita of the Rabbanan is, you need Kol Shnei Simanim. And here, Rabbi Lazar Shimon Amar, Rov Shnayim. And Rabbi Lazar Shimon holds that you have to cut only Rov Shnayim. And you're not allowed to cut kol shnei simanim by an olas ha'of, because at the time that you do the hazas hadam of the olas ha'of, the rosh is still supposed to be attached to the guf al yedei the miut simanim that you haven't cut through. And over here we have a brisa that seems to be telling us, yeah, when you do an ola, when you do malika of an ola, either rov or kol siman. What do you mean either or? Nobody holds either or. There's a machlokas which, but no one holds either or. So it says Gemara, two answers. Number one, Ema Shnaim L'Rabbanan, Rav Shnaim L'Rabbanan, Rav Shimon. Maybe the Brice is just accounting for both opinions. And it's telling you, if you're a Rabbanan person, it's Shnaim. If you're a Rabbanan, Rav Shimon person, it's Rav Shnaim. V'Bay Sema, or alternatively, Havaha Rabbanan, Rav Shimon, it's all Rabbanan, Rav Shimon. Doesn't Rabbanan, Rav Shimon say Rav Shnaim, not Shnaim? Umay Shnaim, Shedomen L'Shnaim. When the Brice says that you cut Shnaim, it means that you cut a recognizable Rav that makes it Doma L'Shnaim. You don't cut kol, because you can't separate the rosh from the guf, but you cut not just a 51% rov, you cut enough of a rov that anyone could eyeball it and say, oh yeah, that's a rov, that you've gotten through rov of the simanim. That's what it means, that shnayim and rov shnayim means that rov mitzumtzum of shnei simanim, which is just a little bit more than half. So either one is good enough. So it is saying you have two options. You can either cut a rov hanikr, or you can cut a rov mitzumtzum. But it's all Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon that it's Rov and it's not Kol. Okay, so now going back to Ze'iri's din. Ze'iri said that on a bird, if you break its neck and the Rov Basar around the neck, it's dead, it's a Nevela right away. So it says Gemara, and what about a human being? What if a human being's neck breaks? Do we assume he's automatically dead and therefore anything in the room with him is a Tamei Meis? Or do we assume that he's still got some life in him? If he's still quivering, if the body is still moving, maybe there's still some life in him. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Nishpura Mafrekes V'rov Basar Ima. If a human being's neck bone is broken, his neck is broken, and most of the basar that supports it together is broken as well, is broken with it. So Metame Ba'Oel right away is Metame Ba'Oel, and it doesn't matter that he's Mefarches. It doesn't matter that he's still moving around, and nothing else. He's decapitated. That's it. Vim Tomar Oso Maisa De'Eli. Maybe you're going to say, well, from Elia Cohen, we find that he died when it was Nishpura Mafrakto, Mafrakas below Rov Basar Avai, and over there, we're not told about anything about Rov Basar, so how can we assume that he's considered to be dead, even though his neck snapped, but there was no Rov Basar that snapped? So what Ze'iri is underselling the point, meaning Ze'iri is telling me that when you cut the neck bone with Rov Basar, that's when it becomes a Nevela. From Elia Cohen, it sounds like, on a human being at least, just breaking the neck already kills the person. So it says, no, Eli HaKohen is different because Zikna Shaini, he was an old man. So a young, robust person is not going to die just with the breaking of the neck. It needs Rov Basar as well. An older person, even just the breaking of the neck, will make the person dead. And we know that he was old and that played a role, because the Pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph, Vayihi Kaskiro Es Aron Elokim, right? This was when they told Eli the news of the death of his sons, he did not fall back and die. And then they told him, and the Aron was captured by the Plishtim, and that did it for him. And then he was so stunned that he fell back and died. So when they told him about the Plishtim capturing the Aron Elokim, Vayipol Me'al HaKisei Achoranis, he falls backwards on his chair, Ba'ad Yad Hashar, Vatishaver Mafrakto, and his neck was broken, Vayamos, and he died. Why? Because he was old. That's why he died, just from the breaking of his neck. Had he not been old, the breaking of his neck would not have immediately killed him. Eventually, probably would have killed him. He would have been a treifa, but he would not have immediately killed him. It's only because he was old that the breaking of the neck without the Rov Basar immediately killed him. Why do we have to mention that he's kaved, that he was heavy? So the Madani Yom Tov says, the fact that he says kaved is not another reason that that he died with the breaking of the mafrekas alone without the Rov Basar. That's just the reason that he fell backwards and he couldn't hold himself up to break his fall. If he had a little more dexterity and he was a little more nimble, maybe he could have turned around and broken his fall, or maybe he could have caught himself. So kaved is just because he didn't have the body control to break his fall. So Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kara'o Kedug, continuing to talk about a human being and at what point this type of traumatic injury, what type of traumatic injury would kill him. So if you tear him open like a fish into two parts, like they would tear open a fish, mitame, right away, mitame ba'oel. He's mitame ba'oel, he's considered to be already dead. And again, the point is, even if he doesn't look dead, even if it looks like the body is still moving in some way, he's already dead. So Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, umi gabo, that's only when you tear, or that is when you tear him from the back. But if you tear him open from the front, then it's not so clear. So the way some of the Rishonim understand is that when you tear him open from the front, as long as he's still moving, he's still alive. Only when you tear him open from the back like a fish, that's when you could assume he's dead, even if he's still moving. However, the Matan Yom Tov says, no, it's more mistaver than when you tear a guy open from the front. That's where most of the vital organs are. So you're much more likely to kill him when you tear him open from the front. So migabo means af migabo, that not only when you kore a human being like a dog from the front is he going to die, but even if you kore a human being like a dog from the back, he's going to die as well. Amar Shmuel aso agistra nevela. Going back to the world of behema, if you make a behema into a gistra, that you cut it into two pieces, you cut the whole neck or you cut the whole back of the animal to the cavity of the body, so you cut it all the way open. So it becomes a nevela, meaning it is already dead. Amar Blaza, meaning it's self-understood. There's a Mishnah that says that if you, let's say you were to decapitate an animal, you cut the head off clean, then for sure it's dead. But we're saying over here, even if you don't cut all the way through, gistra means that you cut to the cavity of the body, right? You cut through everything, but not all the way to into two mamish, two different pieces. So then it's also dead. That was Rabbi Tendler's funny experiment. Funny, but is the experiment that he liked to brag about when he discussed brain death, that he said that just because you can keep something going on life support does not mean it's alive. They took a, because the Gemara says that a dead animal is... what was it, that a dead animal is not, that the if a pregnant animal dies, so then the baby will always die before the mother, right? That the mother's not going to die, and then the baby died. The baby can't continue to live. So he had some sort of experiment where he decapitated a goat and had it the heart continue to beat on life support and still have a baby, to show that, don't tell me that just because a it's able able to have a baby, that it means that the mother's still alive. If it's decapitated, we know that it's dead. Life support just allows certain things that they couldn't have been done in the days of the Tanaim. So yeah, there's a video that's out there that of this whole thing happening. So anyway, Amar Blazer, Nitala Yarech, if the Yarech of the thigh of a behemoth is taken from where it's attached to the body, the Chalal Shala Nikr, and the Chalal is recognizable. You see the hole in the cavity that's left in the body, so nevela. The animal is a nevela. Heichi dami chalal shala. What does it mean chalal shala? That there's the chalal that it's recognizable that it's missing. So Rava kolsha revutz of inires chasera. If the animal is crouching and you still see that it's chaser, so then you know that it's enough of it is missing that it's going to be considered a nevela and not just a trefa. It would be enough to be a trefa if there's a shever. We're going to see later on in El Trefus, if a behema necht churagla min arkuva lemaila, if above the knee the leg gets cut off, that's already a trefa. So over here we're not talking about when the animal becomes a trefa. A trefa mela, okay, of course it's going to die. Trefa means it's very, very sick. Nevela means it's already dead. So we're saying that if it gets removed entirely, the entire leg gets removed with the socket, then it's not just a trefa, then it's a nevela as well. That's only by a behema, that's not true by an adam, of course. Now, we had said previously that if you break the mafrekas and rova basar, so the Zi'iri said the animal's already a nevela. So says the Gemara now, and what about when it comes to shratim? So Tanan Hasam, it says in Maseches Olos, Hutsu Rashehen. So the assumption is, Rashi understands, we're talking about of the Shmona Shratzim. If you chop off the head of one of the Shmona Shratzim, Af al pi shemefarchesin, even though it's still moving around, tameim, it's right away tame because it's already dead. Because naf halta shemefarcheses, just like the tail of a weasel, you can cut it off. It's still jumping around, it's still moving around, but obviously it's not part of the weasel anymore. It has no life to it at that point. So too, you chop off the head of one of the shemona shratzim, and it is considered to be dead. That is how Rashi, Rabbi Gershom, and the Rambam understand that it's talking about shratzim. And the reason that it must be talking about Shratzim is because according to Zi'iri and Shmuel, even if Rov Mafrekas and Rov Basar is cut, it's a nevela. So obviously, if you cut off the head clean, it's a nevela. You wouldn't need to tell this to me, that it's a nevela. Other Rishonim say that no, this is talking about human beings and animals and everything. But one thing is clear, everybody holds, and this is the Mishnah that I referred to before, everybody holds that when you decapitate something, it is dead, right? Meaning that is for sure the case. There's no way that you could have the head over here and the body over there and say that this thing is alive. Whatever this thing is, whether it's a sheretz, a behema, a human being, obviously it is dead. So my hutsu, what is the shear of havdalah, of separation, that you would call it hutaz? So Reish Lakish Amar hutsu mamish. It means totally cut through, all the way through and through. The body and the head are separate from one another. Rav Asi Amar Rabbi Mani, that hutsu means kavdalah salasa'ov. It means the same way the olas ha'ov's head is removed from its body. That it's not literally removed from its body. It's whatever you need to do, however much you need to cut. When you do malika and an olas ha'ov, that's what we mean is enough to kill a sheretz when you decapitate it. Amrle Rabbi Yirmi l'Ravasi. So Rabbi Yirmi said to Ravasi, that which you said in the name of Rav Mani, that it's kavdalas olas ha'ov, which shita do you mean? Meaning we learned two opinions earlier and we're going to see what the source of these two opinions is. That by an olas ha'ov, I know you're supposed to cut shnei simanim, but there's a machlokas whether you need to cut rov shnei simanim or kol shnei simanim. So kavdalas olas ha'ov l'rabbanan, do you assume like the rabbanan that you need to cut kol shnei simanim? So you need to cut kol shnei simanim. So then he's l'chora saying the same exact thing as Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said, what does hutas mean? Hutsu mamish. And then Ramani said, no, like an olas ha'ov. Well, wait a second. If by olas ha'ov you think like the Rabbanan, that you got to cut it clean through, you got to cut it all the way through, well, then you're saying the same thing as Reish Lakish. v'lo palgisu. And Rabbi Mani's not disagreeing with Reish Lakish. Odilma kavdala solosof the Rabbi Shimon upligisu. Or maybe when Rabbi Mani says that it's supposed to be cut through, that in order to be dead, it has to be cut like the Ola Sa'of, he means like Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon's version of the Ola Sa'of, where you don't cut it clean through. So then you see that there's a machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Mani. Reish Lakish said it's only if hutzu mamish, that you mamish decapitated. And Rabbi Mani says, no, only like Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon says by an Ola Sa'of, that you got to cut rov simanim. So Amarlei, so Rabbi Yassi said to Rabbi Yirmiya, kavdala Ola Sa'of Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon upliginan. It is in fact a machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Mani. And when Rabbi Mani says, like the Ola Sa'of, he meant like Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon's version of what we do with an Ola Sa'of, to just get through rov simanim, not kol simanim. Ikata Amri, another version of this discussion, is that Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar Hutsu Mamish, Rabbi Asi Amar Rabbi Mani, Kavdala Ola Sa'of, Li Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon Barov Shnayim, that he said it explicitly, that there is clearly a machlokas over here. Reish Lakish says you got to be Hutsu Mamish in order for it to be dead, and Rabbi Mani said, no, just rov simanim, like Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon says, Bayin Ola Sa'of. Now, we keep referring back to this machlokas of how much of the Ola Sa'of needs to be cut. Where is this machlokas? My Rabbanan or my Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon? Where do we find a machlokas, Rabbanan or Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, whether you need rov shnei simanim or kol shnei simanim Bayin Ola Sa'of? So, Tanya, the Brisa darshins the psukim where it says, about an Ola Sa'of, Vesasheni Ya'aseh Ola Kamishpat, that you should do the second one as an Ola Kamishpat. What does Kamishpat mean? Like the rule of what? So Kamishpat Chatas Behema. The first part of the Parsha spoke about a Chatas Behema, so it's saying that in some way the Ola Sa'of is like the Chatas Behema. That an Ola Sa'of is cut, because the Ola Sa'of takes the place of a Chatas Behema. If the person was wealthy enough, he would have brought a Chatas Behema. But because he's an ani, instead of bringing a chatas, he brings shtei torim or shnei b'nei yona. So the only reason he's bringing this Ola Sa'of is to replace a chatas behema. So therefore it stands to reason that some of the dinim of a chatas behema are going to carry over to an Ola Sa'of. So ask the Gemara, at Omer kamishpat chatas behema, o enuel kamishpat chatas sa'of. Are you sure? Maybe when we say kamishpat by the Ola Sa'of, it's saying that it's supposed to be treated in a similar way to the chatas sa'of, that just like by the Chatas Of, that there's an Isser to be Mavdil, the head from the body. You do the Malika on only Simen Echad, so maybe by the Ola Sa'of, you don't do Havdalah, and Min Asfar, it seems more that way, because all Karbanos because all of the Karbanos are Tachas Chatas Behema, the Ola Sa'of and the Chatas Sa'of, so I would think they should all have the same dinim. The Ola Sa'of and the Chatas Sa'of should have the same din as one another. So says the Gemara, no, Kshu Omer, when it says by the Ola Sa'of, that's Bab and Adav, it says Vihikrivo, it says Belashon Yach, it doesn't say Vihikriv, it says Vihikrivo. So it sounds like there's something about an Ola Sa'of that's unique to an Ola Sa'of that's not true of a Chata Sa'of. Vihikrivo, what you're going to do with the Ola Sa'of is only Vihikrivo, is only by the Ola Sa'of, it's not going to be by a Chata Sa'of. So it's telling me that we cannot equate the two, because there's uniqueness to the Ola Sa'of. So Chalak HaKosav Ben Chata Sa'of La Ola Sa'of. That's the Torah telling me that a Chata Sa'of and an Ola Sa'of are not the same. So Mani Mekayim Kamishpat. So then what does Kamishpat mean? Like we said, Kamishpat Chatas Behema, that when we say that you're supposed to do the Ola Sa'of like the rule of something else, it means like the rule of a Chatas Behema. So in what way? So Ma Chatas Behema Ein Aba'a Ela Min Achulin, and therefore we derive the following halacha. Just like a Chatas Behema can only come from Chulin Mani, you're not allowed to buy a Chatas Behema with Meiser Sheni money, Ubayom, and the halacha is you can only be makrav a Chatas Behema during the daytime and not at nighttime, because by the par that's brought in Yom Kippur it says ki beyom azayichaper aleichem ubiyado ayemanis, and the avodas of a Chatas Behema have to be with your right hand. So afalasof in a bayel menachulin ubayom ubiyado ayemanis. So all of these rules apply to an Ola Sa'of as well. Now the Rishonim asked, Tosas and Rash asked, that lechora even without the limud it would be usher to use Meiser Sheni money, because you can't for an Ola. L'chor, it's Pashut, you're not allowed to use Meiser Sheni money for an Ola Sa'of, because what do you use Meiser Sheni money for? Right? What do you do with Meiser Sheni money? Basic din. Meiser Sheni money, you bring to Yerushalayim and you spend it on food, right? It has to be something that you eat. An ola sa'of gets burnt entirely on the mizbech. I don't need a limud to tell me I can't buy an ola sa'of with ma'aser sheni money. So I say, but once the pasuk says v'krivo, I would have thought that it's gzeiros hakasuv to be mechalik between a chatas and an ola. And since by a chatas it says you're not allowed to use ma'aser sheni money, I would have thought v'krivo is telling me, maybe there's gzeiros hakasuv that you are allowed to. So that's why we're telling me, no, kamishpat, that it follows the dinim of chatas behema. That just like chatas behema, you're not allowed to use ma'aser sheni money, ola sa'of, you're also not allowed to use ma'aser sheni money. Says Gemara, really, it's exactly like chatas behema? Ima lahalon, berov shnayim. By a chatas behema, you cut rov of the shnei simanim. So afkan, by an ola sa'of, berov shnayim. Should you say that you don't have to cut kol shnei simanim, just rov? So tamalomar, umalak vihiktir. That's why the pasuk says, by an ola sa'of, umalak es rosho, vihiktir amizbeach. L'chora, if we're going to understand that kipshutam, that you do the malika of the rosh ha'of, and you're makdir on the mizbeach, I don't understand. If you're already makdir the whole thing on the mizbeach, how can it then say afterwards that v'nimtza damo al kir mizbeach, that you then squeeze out blood on the wall of the mizbeach? You already burnt the whole thing. There's nothing left. So it has to be that it's telling us that the malika is like the haktara in the following way: ma haktara harosh ba'atzmo vaguf ba'atzmo. Just like when it comes to be makdirit, the rosh is separate from the guf, af malika, so too the way to do the malika is harosh bi'atzmo va'guf ba'atzmo, is that you have to separate fully the head from the body. So that's the way one is supposed to fulfill the malika. That's the Tanakhama. So what did the Tanakhama teach us? That when it says kamishpat by the Olas Hov, it's telling me treat it like a chatas behema. Legabe a whole bunch of dinim, but there's one din that the chatas behema is different than the Olas Hov. By the Olas Hov, you got to cut through kol shnei simanim. By a chatas behema, we don't do that. So you see, we already have our Tana who holds kol shnei simanim, right? We're looking for where's there a machlokas where the Rabbanan hold kol shnei simanim, Rabbi Yosef Rishon holds rov shnei simanim. There we already have one Tana that says kol shnei simanim. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Rabbi Shmuel says you're misunderstanding kamishpat. Kamishpat means not kamishpat chatas behema, kamishpat chatas ha'of. It means that the olas ha'of is treated the same way as the chatas ha'of. That I'd rather compare the olas ha'of to the chatas ha'of than to compare it to the chatas behema. So ma chatas ha'of mimul oref, and therefore what is the din that I learned from chatas ha'of to olas ha'of? The makom on the body of the bird that you do the malika on. Just like by chatas ha'of the malika is done on the back of the neck, af olas ha'of mimul oref, so too you do the malika of an olas ha'of on the back of the neck. So says Mar, but wait, if you're going to learn the dinam of olas ha'of from chatas ha'of, imalalan molek ve'eno mavdil b'simen echad, if you're going to say by a chatas ha'of you do the malika on only one of the simanim and you are not mavdil between the body and the head of the chatas in the second simen, you leave it attached with the second simen, because by the chatas it says v'lo yavdil, there's a pasuk v'lo yavdil. So afkan, if I'm going to compare the olas ha'of to the chatas ha'of, am I going to say the same thing, molek ve'eno mavdil b'simen echad, that you only do one simen, that you only cut through one simen and you're not mavdil? So tamalomar v'krivo. That's why the olas ha'of has to say v'krivo, to tell me that in some way it's distinct from the chatas ha'of. How is it distinct from the chatas ha'of? By chatas ha'of there's an iser to be mavdil. By an olas ha'of it's different and you're supposed to be mavdil. You're supposed to do malika on shnei simanim. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon omar. Ooh, now we're going to get to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. Kamishpat chatas ha'of. That the din of an olas ha'of, he says, I agree with Rabbi Yishmael, that it should be kamishpat chatas ha'of. But legabe what halacha? Rabbi Yishmael said, oh, you know what it means, kamishpat chatas ha'of? That it's on the back of the animals, of the bird's neck. And he says, I'll tell you, mala halon, ochiz barosh ubaguf umaze, that just like by the chatas ha'of, you hold on to the head and the body of the bird, and you sprinkle the dam, afkan ochiz barosh ubaguf umaze. So to by an olas ha'of, you hold on to the rosh and the guf and your mazeh. So my call Amar. What are you trying to tell me? We don't find by a Chatos Ov that you hold on to the Rosh of the Chatos and the Guf in your palm all at one time. So Hachi Kamar, no, what Rav Elazar Rav Shimon is telling me in his drasha is the following. Mala Halon, Kishu Oches HaRosh, Baguf, Maze, just like by the Chatos Ov, when you're holding the head, you're sprinkling the dam with the Guf, meaning you don't do the Malika of the Chatos Ov where you sever it entirely from its body, where you sever the head entirely from its body. By the Chatos Ov, you're only cutting one simen. So by definition, if you're holding the Rosh, you're also holding the Guf, because it's still attached to one another by a Chatos Ov. Ooh, Afkan! Shuachos HaRosh, Baguf Mazeh. So too, when it comes to the Olas Ov, when you're holding onto the head, you're still able to sprinkle the dam from the Guf. Because, why is that? Because you have not fully decapitated it. You're only Molek Rov Simanim. And the Miut Simanim, you have not been. So says Gemara, Imala Halan. But wait, if by the Chatos Ov, the Halach is B'Simen Echad, Afkan B'Simen Echad, are you telling me that the Olas Ov has Mamish the same thing as the Chatos Ov, where you're only cutting one Simen? No. Tamalomar V'Krivo. That's why the Pasuk says V'Krivo, that an Olas Ov is different than the Chatos Ov. But how is it different than the Chatos Ov? It's only different than the Chatos Ov in the number of the Simanim that you do the Malika on. But as far as how deep that Malika goes, it's the same as Chatos Ov. Just like Chatos Ov, you're only cutting Rov Simen. By an Olas Ov, you're also only cutting Rov Simanim. And there you have it. That's the Machlokas Rabbanan and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. That the Rabbanan, the Tanakama, as well as Rabbi Shmuel held, that you cut through Kol HaSimanim, whereas Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon said, no, by the Olas Ov, you only cut Rov Simanim. So that's the Machlokas we kept on referring back to, and now we know where that Machlokas comes from. Okay, but from tomorrow we will continue with Tanakama. Okay, everyone have a great day and a good Yantif.